Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, burning with love, love has the joy to see.
We did to move black folks to the next level. It seemed like we worked, we was doing it and beating our head up against the wall for someone else, because all the someones have stepped in. He said we're like the birds and the bees on our knees. You know, I want to thank those who was with me last week, because we dealt with the meaning of hope. And we're going to try to take, even though we're going to teach and talk to you, even if you notice, we're going to try to still tell you what's going on. Let's see what we can do here. And sometimes doing an analysis do not mean that it's negative. And I try not to deal with hate. And I think the hate and net analysis and hate and all have gotten black folks so messed up that they can hear nothing else. They don't pay attention to nothing. It's just it's the dog whistles and all the other whistles have just been so loud that we just kind of don't hear nothing. So we're going to see what we can do here, just because we got a lot to do, y'all. And I am going to deal with the schools and stuff, what's going on with our babies. If you can't get black folks to move into fighting for the children, what can you get us to fight for? As Jesus said, that we are the children of the salt of the earth. And until you be like a babe, you can't, you know, that's how you get into the kingdom. But the thing of it is that somehow or another, we've allowed ourselves to give up that hope that Dr. King was talking about. But we're going to get it back because we got to fight. I'm going to talk about briefly about the school strike. It's an unlawful strike. And I want to talk to these black teachers who just won this lawsuit because you was unlawfully put out of your position. And they had a whole article on the fact that how many blacks was in the school, how many Hispanics, you know, and they really tried to keep us behind on everything. And we kind of believe it, so they can take control of everything. How many whites, how many blacks? It was in that same article with the teachers. I hope I brought it, and I'm going to read it. I might read it after the break. But it talked about what the percentage of black folks was in the school. Of course, we're behind everybody. But they said the school system, but I want to see who's in the classroom. And I think parents, don't y'all buy that mess. I don't know what y'all been looking at. You got to look at more stations and look up stuff on the internet and look up stuff more because they got folks scared out here and fear. These folks always thought black folks might be easier to make fearful than anybody else. And that's because of post-trauma. And we've always been afraid to lose our jobs, lose our position, lose this, or the black folks. You know, there's a thing that was never dealt with. That's not all blacks, because some of us come from where you don't fear nothing but God. That is easy to put that kind of fear. So now, all that money Biden gave them for the school system, and if you look at this variance that they have, and I got some stuff, I have to play it for you, not this week, because I'm going to play it for y'all, about this, whatever this virus. They said it's easier than COVID and the Delta, and it's just like going up and down. It's like cold. That's why you hear the president talking about, well, we can't cure it now. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then you hear the rest of them say, we better open up and all of that. And they showed some of Nancy down in Florida. She done bought a house. They supposed to hate the Santos who kept his place open. And then you got the Ocasio was down there and Swalwell was down there because they know the real truth. And nobody's really dealing with science. Even I saw where all of Biden's people, his medical people are telling him, wait a minute. You know, now I had the Hong Kong flu when Jimmy was born, my oldest child, with a temperature of 107, almost 108 degrees. So I remember the Hong Kong flu. And I'm not saying we're lightly with this stuff, but they're using it because these folks, truthfully, they're just lazy and don't want to go to work. They're not teaching anyway. So I would hope that those teachers who won that suit would get into the Marvin Collins spirit and open up our own school because we are losing. The bottom line is that if we don't have to get the education straight, then nothing else matter. And y'all don't know nothing matter. You have to have education, and you got to have vocational training. You got to have all those things that builds community. You got to have that. You know, you're going to, the artisan trades and all those things that we turn our backs on, we got to have that. We got to have God. We got to have family. We got to have those. Those are all the things that we need. But the bottom line, if we don't take care of our children, God is not going to look kindly on that. That's our problem. And all the children are our children, not just yours or my, this, all of them. We make decisions. And that's what Dr. King meant last week when he talked about those who got an I quality don't work on behalf of the whole. The we quality do. And I've always talked about we and I. And Dr. King always said that when you deal with hope, you deal with the whole. And God have mercy. And we got some selfish leadership now, and they don't know it. Because I got that and the voting right bill I'm going to deal with today. They got folks here, they're miseducating our children, and they got our people out here running around talking about this faulted voting right bill. And that's what I meant about the talking points. I would hope that the leadership that have made themselves leaders, like maybe the ministers, should get together at a little conference or something, and those who really know how to dissect, and take that bill apart, and they will see that it's not good for our community. It ain't no voting. I don't know no black folks who can't vote. They telling you to get, and I'm going to come back to education, but those are the two things I'm going to deal with today. That voting right, and I'm going to deal with education. They said to ask a person for ID was racist. Well, you can't get a COVID test without ID. You got to have ID to get a COVID test. So you have got to be able to know who vote. Now, who does this help? Not having ID, the illegals. That's what y'all don't understand. And we keep working against ourselves without knowing that we're working against ourselves. This bill is really against black people. And I'll say it. You need to call up your congresspeople and ask them. You need to ask them whether or not they have went through this bill, or they just doing talking points. Look, I was old at Edmund Pettus Bridge. I knew about the voting right. Now, I grew up in the software where you couldn't vote, and a few people who had property that could vote, they gave them all the different tests. This bill is so outrageous. But once again, you make black folks nervous, and black folks get behind the bill, it's gone. You know you're going to get it. So we're going to be dealing with that education and the voting right these next during the rest of the show, because that voting rights bill is the worst thing could happen to black people. We keep doing stuff to hurt ourselves. Now, why would somebody say that illegals can vote on the school board? But they passed it with the elected school board down in Springfield. Watch what's going on. You think that fight is going on between the city council people, the black and Latino with the city council people? Wait till they fight with that. The school is slowly being taken over by others. Anyway, if you look at your board of education president, and you look at your CEO, and you look at all of the other people of color that's inside the board, and then you begin to look at your teachers that's not teaching our children, they're teaching them more about sex and other stuff, because I believe that a person should be proficient in what they teach. But if you teach biology in the school, then that means you got to talk about a man and a woman. You know, if you teach biology, chemistry, you know, mathematics, language, history, American history, world history. And I'm going to get to black history in a minute. But those are things, music, having a band leader that's teaching character to people. The club, the glee club, the gospel, the club that's in there singing and stuff, the singing out traditional music, that you had all kind of things that children was able to join, to be a part of, the different clubs they had within the schools. All they got shut down. They talk about the mental health of children. Yes, COVID. COVID is messing these people up, but it's also these schools. You sit up in a teacher yesterday, the other day, I think it was in San Francisco, gave somebody a COVID shot without the parents' permission. These folks is crazy. Now, I've had a shot, but I'm not taking no booster. But anyway, because I've been doing it. But anyway, I shouldn't say all that. But anyway, so when you look at what's going on, they send the school all day, and the teacher don't know no more about math than you do. And the math my teacher taught me stuck in my head, and I'm not a mathematician, but thank God I had them. You know, and I remember the science of, dissecting frogs and stuff. And there's no incentive. And why? Because I got to take a break in a minute. Okay, because I'm going to take a break in 1 minute. I got to take a break and I'm about to come back. But it's really something. And you have these folks in these schools, all they want to teach them is about sex. Who? What? Shouldn't that be? Shouldn't you be teaching at home? They want to talk about gender and all of the stuff. But most of the teachers and most of your, and either they don't have children, and even your board, and even these so-called, the CTU, They're not no Carolyn. Don't think they make you think they're Carolyn or Jackie Vaughn. Oh, no, they got another agenda. They either don't have, have children in the school, I can hear. Either they have children in the school or they have, they don't have the children in the school, they have them in private school. You have a lot of folks that's in leadership position today that don't have children. They walk dogs. And ain't nothing wrong with having a pet, but that's what they are, a pet. They're not children. But they don't have their children in public school. They got them in private schools. Most of your leadership who's talking mess, they done went and got their children in private school. So what they've done is they says the underserved schools, why should any schools be underserved? Why should we have any underserved community? I just got my reassessment on my house. My tax bill is high. So we're going to deal with that because we're going to deal with the whole question of education and the voting rights, because what we're doing is messing up. And it's messing up because they've turned your backs on the Constitution. The two people who are responsible for the Constitutions in this country is white Anglo-Saxon and black folks. And black children don't learn the Constitution. They don't learn any of that stuff. So that's how we messing up. Now you say, well, no, yes, we are. 13, 14, 15 amendments for us. The voting rights bill is for us. Everything that we fought for, we done got bullied out of to fight and understand that we have a right to those things too. But you got to give our folks, they can't have hope if they don't have education, can't have hope if they don't have jobs. They get the hope through how we fight for them. Talk of Chicago, 69WON. Mama's 9975916090. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We on Facebook, group Facebook. We on Blog Talk if you miss us. And so whatever else we on. But anyway, during the right time, we'll call you to the conversation with me. I'm glad to be back with y'all. As Dr. King said, keep hope alive. Hopefully this is very important. I'll be right back. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be gone for 2 minutes. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Dad! Come on! Over here! Look at this, Dad! Over! Whoa!
The moment my son saw a redwood tree. Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
Oh,
I want to
be...
I want to be...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
The following message is brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed as our nation is with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available for the enjoyment of all, we approach this problem of reemployment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. Hey, y'all, we're back. We're black and we're proud. It is someday, y'all. I'm happy to be here with y'all because so much is going on, our future, our hope. We're dealing with a lot of stuff today. We're dealing with this whole question of people trying to push this voting rights bill on y'all. It's the worst thing for black people. We're also dealing with the whole educational question. And I'm calling on those teachers who just won that lawsuit. I want y'all to be a Marvin Collins. Open up our own schools so we can teach our children. They're trying to say we're behind, but we need to teach our children. They got to. If we don't teach them, we're doomed anyway. Because you putting them up against folks who done got all of the basic things they need, whether it be vocational training, or whether it be education, make them want to be doctors, or do they want to be lawyers, or do they just want to be in the artisan trade, or whatever they want to be, entrepreneurs, whatever they want to be. Because it has sparked. Do they want to be great artists, musicians? You know, do they want to, whatever they want to do, we have to make sure that that's inspired in them. And like Miss Mingo told me, my son's first grade teacher, she said the first 3 years are the most important years in a child's life, school. Because you're laying the groundwork for them to want to learn. And you got different times in terms of these different times of children. But if you don't have nobody in there to care for these children, they're trying to teach them about sex and trying to teach them about all this other stuff, that there's no gender or critical race theory, all that other stuff. They're not going to want to learn. They come out and they're frustrated because they're functionally illiterate. They really they do not have critical thinking. They be into this other stuff. So we really, we can do, and I'm calling on leadership. Get together. Please stop reading these talking points. This bill is going to bite us in our butt, just like what's going on in the city of Chicago right now. We made it a sanctuary city. You said you don't have to be a citizen to vote on the school board. That's not right. You should thank you for letting me come here and take an education, and I'm probably not in your school. Because if you drive around this city, you see a lot of brand-new schools that are not for black children. And science lab and these labs and technology, and you're lucky if you get one or two children, black children, in there. You're just lucky. So we just got to understand what we're doing. And most black folks don't want to deal with this. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to deal with it. They just want to get on the phone and down somebody and talk about how bad somebody is. They don't want to talk about what we have to do as a people and how we have to do. I'm trying to understand what's going on. I want to tell you, since we're talking about the children, talk of Chicago 69 WN, 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.vn.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. I want to play what we're really here for, y'all. We're here for the children. I'm just kind of, and I want to tell you, and I'm probably at the 7 o'clock hour, talk about the lawsuit that the Mollison parents filed on behalf of the children of the city of Chicago. I'm trying to understand all of that, the Mollison parents on the city of Chicago. We won our lawsuit against Continuous Progress Mastery Learning. We won our lawsuit against Master's Continuous Progress. We wanted to put the Basel Reader back into the school system. We wanted to put, so folks can understand root words and all, because with Continuous Progress, what was happening is that all of the teachers did all day. They didn't have grades at levels. So all of they had three or four levels in one classroom, and they were sitting there doing paper. And we didn't know because we thought an A and B was great, good grades. That meant you was on a first grade level. And when my children went to Mollison, they could read, they could write, they could few didn't travel an awful lot. Then all of a sudden they started getting dumbed down. And one day I saw my son in the kitchen. Teacher had gotten on him about his lesson. He said, "Mama, I'm trying." I said, "Well, you got the A's and the B's?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Wait a minute." And I got that stuff, and I looked at that stuff, and that's when I realized what they was doing to my baby and the rest of the children in Mollison. What do we do? We had a parent meeting, and it was Carolyn Miles said that, well, we need to do something, and that's how we, you know, I broke down the whole meaning of the great, because sometimes all you got to do is educate people to what's going on. I believe that when the masses understand, they will rise to the occasion. I've always believed that. They've done that in the black community throughout history. Once you explain to our people what was going on, the masses would rise up. So what we did was we broke down what Continuous Progress Mastery Learning was. If your child in this age, and he should be here. If he's that age, there. And that's when we found out that the whole school was failing. There was only one child that was on a fourth grade or fifth grade level. I might be mixing the time up. And that was eighth grade student. We said, what the hell? And so we had a meeting, and I presented it to, then we had parents that was active. They systematically got parents out of school. Trust me, this LAC ain't nothing. No disrespect to those who are LAC members. Because they kind of cut the power, and the union put all their people in place. It's just a bunch of mess. You got even the good ones who want to do something can't really do nothing. So what we did was, during that time, we had PTA. We had district, Ms. McIntyre, and all of us. It was a bunch of us who met. We had our conference. We had everything when we met and we talked. And I told them about it. But first, our PTA at Mollison and the local advisory council. And I was president of the Mollison Parent PTA because I was very involved in the school because my children was there. And I've always been involved in wherever they were. So what do? We explain to the parent that if your child is here, your child is there. And that's when the whole, and the parents got upset. What are we going to do? And Carolyn Miles said, well, we need to boycott the school. I said, I looked at them. See, they really didn't know that that was part of, you know, organizing was what I had done with as part of Dr. King Direct Action Force. They didn't know that. I was just a mollison parent because I was so glad to just be quiet and pull back, raise my children, not be involved in stuff. So I said, you sure y'all want to do that? So I did lay out myself with my skills that I had, the things you would have to do if we were going to do that. Everybody thought I called a boycott. I didn't call that boycott. Carolyn Miles called that boycott. And the parents, Mollison parents, voted. The only thing I did was laid out what we have to do if we were going to boycott. And my question to them as an advanced field staff organizer, Dr. King, was, you sure you want to do that? And these are the things we would have to do. And if we don't do those things, the boycott is not going to work. And I talked to them about freedom schools. And I told them what we had to do, and we had to secure different areas in the community for the parents to bring their children, because if the parents didn't have a place to bring their children, the boycott wouldn't work. We talked to the AFAs. Y'all will come to the phone in a minute. We talked to the AFAs, and the AFA house was across the street. The old AFAs, Stroge and all of them, they didn't want us up in there. They didn't want to get involved. But those young brothers, James Hill, Donna Trotter and all of them, they fought for our rights to be up in the AFA house. So we put a school there, and we had two houses on 44th and Calumet, one for kindergarten, one for this place. We had four freedom schools. And once we secured that, we then had to get us a principal who would kind of oversee the schools and help us put together our curriculum. And we got Mr. Russ Fanoy. And Russ, if you're listening, Russ was a teacher at Farragut. He's a very good teacher. And he did shop. Russ Boy Fanoy put together our curriculum. And that's what we'd have to do. And we put the committee together for food. We did a whole lot of things. I won't go through it all. So we made a decision to boycott. So I told him, they said, well, let's go. I said, we can't go out now. They said, why not? I said, because we won't be successful. What we're going to do is let Christmas come, and we won't take them back after Christmas. It was easier to keep the parents with the children, because they're used to them being at home, keep them from going back than pulling them out. And that's what we did. And Mollison boycott was a success. And I'm going to talk about it some more in a minute after I talk to Mike. I'm going to talk to Mike and then come back, because Mollison boycott was a success. And I'm going to talk about the role Lou Palmer and everybody played in it. So those are the things. If the parents want to do something, I said, if they file a lawsuit, they got to know what they're doing. And I'll come back and tell you what we did on that, too. Talk of Chicago 69 at VON, number 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Tickets where we go. We're on Facebook, on group Facebook, and we're also on Blog Talk if you miss us. I'm going to take a call, then I'm going to come back. I'm just trying to teach y'all so you can keep hope. There's nothing you can't do. You just got to make sure you want to put your time and your energy into doing it. Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
I should say previous alderman and great leader of the city.
Thank you.
I just want to say this, you know, which you were hitting the nail on the head, which was my thought. It's mm-hmm. something significant and important to control your life and your destiny, and mm-hmm. we have to teach that from our household and our family, starting mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are at the earliest age, a strategy or strategizing And with the aspect, I don't have to know the exact answer or the end or have it all laid out.
Right.
But I ain't gonna stand for this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because looking at what's happening now, this city and the other places, somebody tells you that you can't work. Or I heard this morning on about the Citibank told the employees that they don't have a shot, they fired. You know, your livelihood's gone, boom, you know. And this thing is steadily changing, morphing. That's according to science. And so we're going to be manipulated by somebody over us, or your kids can't go to school, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's been controlled by somebody else about your life.
It's a disgrace because they're getting paid. Mike, they're getting paid. They want to sit at home once before they found some all on the beach. These folks have no respect for our children nor our families, and they're frightened to death. They don't want to go. They just don't want. We have to take control, and the parents are going
to
follow.
That's what I'm saying. We have to start the strategizing and figuring out and learning how to control our own lives regardless of what somebody else has said or their system. Or what they determine for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we are not robots, and we never will be, and the Creator didn't make us that way.
Well, you know, the problem is that they assume that the parents will not get involved. As I said, I was going over a slow thing because I'm going to try to do a lot of teaching this first few months so people can understand they can do something, is that when the parents they said in that meeting, Mike, they said, well, these parents not going to do nothing. I said, yes, they will. So, and I'm going to talk about how the boycott happened at 7 o'clock hour. But when it happened, yeah. After it happened, so all the parents went on the picket line. And I said, well, they said, are these parents? No. Everybody have a role to play. The fact that they kept their children home for our boycott meant they're supporting us. The fact they're going to send them to the freedom school, because you opted to come march and to help be the core person in terms of on the picket line, doing the food, assisting the teachers and stuff, that don't make you or me any better than the ones who kept their children at home because they did participate in how they knew how. And that's what we have to understand, that everybody
right.
can do something. And how
right.
do we define victory, and how do we define people being involved? Mike?
Because it's just rising up and determined about what you truly want for your life and joining with others, as to say, the common, you could say, denominator of what you guys want for your life
mm-hmm.
and your children's life
mm-hmm.
and your family life and the world that we live in. I'm going to say this. I've heard
yeah.
something recently talking about, it's kind of out there, you know, soothsaying, so to speak. Within the next 8 years, life will be changing and settling back 2030, they have to determine what the next maybe 50 years after 2030 will look like.
Well, you know, you got to know, Mike, they plan. They plan long distance, and there's nobody
yeah.
planning for the black child long distance. They're planning for our demise.
So that's what
I'm
looking at, is to say, well, what we have to be individually as well as collective, you have to determine where you want to be in that.
Well,
what
yeah, we have to determine what we want our family and our community.
Yeah.
We got to think community. Mike,
yourself.
I enjoy. I gotta go. I let you. You made sense, so that's why I wanted you to go on.
Yeah, because this hey, you know, it's about common sense. Come on now, here.
Thank you, Mike. We believe
thank
you
very
that
much.
Thank you. We
y'all
believe
be blessing a super good year.
Thank you. We believe that children are our future. We really believe that. We got to treat them, and if the children are our future, what do we do? And, you know, what have gotten to me is that other folks, we let other folks make their children seem more important than our children. They say they got family, they got children, children are our future. Uh-huh. I've got a new engineer over there, y'all. He's learning. So I'm trying to, we want to play children are our future. Well, I won't have Titus anymore. I got Nelson over there. He in training. And just keep it kind of a little soft like, and then I'll tell you to bring it up, okay? All right, Nelson, he's going to be all right. Come to find out we used to go to the same church. Just a little bit more. How they going to lead the way if we don't teach them? And there's something going on with our families and our children, and there's something has happened here. But children are precious. We got to really, and right now I don't think that union and none of them care about our children. They're just a dollar bill, either for money or a springboard for politicians. And I would think that those elected officials right now would be speaking out. Your children in your ward, in your district, is out of school. They're functionally illiterate. Don't come telling me about what you want to do and how you're going to do this. Prove it. Children are our future. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WN, number 773-5969. We are streaming live, www.view.com, on iHeartRadio. Take us up wherever you go. You can also get Blog Talk. Call for you in the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright, Tim Wright, in the great city of Chicago. I'll be right back because children are our future. The greatest love. Love. To love yourself. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about. If you can't read, think, and know who you are, how you gonna love yourself? Yeah. Yeah, come on, y'all. That's our theme today, the children in this so-called voting right bill. Our children don't play. They don't jump rope. They stuck in bullets. They're running a hide. They can't. They're frustrated. Yeah. Nobody shatter. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to take some calls on the 7 o'clock hour, y'all. When I come back, I'm going to talk to y'all some more. I'm just trying to teach y'all today. Coffee, get your tea, come on back and talk to me because the greatest love is happening to me. I'll be right back, y'all.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm Vanessa Tyler.
And I'm Mike Stevens on your home for 24-7 News, the Black Information Network.
We begin in Georgia, where the three white men who tracked, hunted, and murdered black jogger Ahmaud Arbery are sentenced to pay for the crime. The judge telling the men the 25-year-old who went for a run ended up running for his life.
And he was killed because individuals here in this courtroom took the law into their own hands.
For taking a life, they will sacrifice freedom. Father and son, Greg and Travis McMichael, got life with no possibility of parole. Travis was the one who pulled the trigger nearly 2 years ago. And their neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, who helped block Arbery's path with his pickup back in Brunswick, also got life, but he does have the chance for parole.
Numerous accolades continue to come in for Academy Award-winning black actress Sidney Poitier after his death.
Call me Mr. Tibbs.
He was the first black actor to win an Oscar for Best Actor in a Leading Role for Lilies of the Field. Poitier's breakout role was as Gregory W. Miller, a member of a hopeless high school class in the 1955 film Blackboard Jungle. Poitier also received critical acclaim for his work in A Raisin in the Sun and A Patch of Blue. Sidney Poitier, dead at the age of 94.
Black history is made in another U.S. city. African-American Kareem Pritchett raises his hand and takes the oath as the new mayor of Mount Laurel, New Jersey. He is the first black mayor in the township's 150-year history. New Jersey Senator African-American Cory Booker had the honor of administering Mayor Pritchett's oath of office.
New York City's new black mayor had to deal with the first significant snowfall to blanket the Big Apple this year. Mayor Adams was up early and out on the streets with city sanitation workers in Lower Manhattan who were plowing.
I'm proud to represent the men and women of the Department of Sanitation on what they do for the city of New York every day. Thank you for doing your job. I appreciate what you do for the city of New York. Let's show this darn place what we're made of.
1,600 plow truck drivers came out to clear streets across the five boroughs. Reports are the city got as much as 8 inches of snow in some places and nearly 10 inches in others.
The job numbers for December are out, and black workers are the only group seeing a slight rise in unemployment. Everyone else showing a drop in unemployment. The Labor Department figures show an additional 199,000 jobs were added, but that is below projections of 400,000 jobs. Reports are people are still quitting, seeking jobs with more money and better benefits. And COVID will not stop the party in New Orleans. Carnival season is underway. Mardi Gras was canceled last year due to COVID. Mayor LaToya Cantrell says it feels good to be back. Carnival features the iconic street parades, which begin in the famous French Quarter, peaking on Fat Tuesday, which this year is March 1st. The African-American mayor says her city is vaccinated, masked, and ready to roll. I'm Vanessa Tyler with Mike Stevens on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey Alexa, play WVON 1690 AM.
Getting WVON 1690 AM station from iHeartRadio.
Try it out for yourself. You can now listen to the Talk of Chicago on Alexa.
Rivers Casino is your premier gaming destination. With the most slot jackpots in Chicagoland, the biggest wins at the tables, and unmatched dining experiences, Rivers Casino has the hottest action around. Rivers Casino is adding even more ways to win. More table games, more slot machines, and more dining means more of the experiences you love. You want more? Rivers Casino has more. Let's play. See RiversCasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The life expectancy gap between black and non-black Chicagoans has widened. Between 2012 and 2017, the gap grew from 8.3 years to 9.2 years. Black Chicagoans on average live 71.4 years, while non-black Chicagoans live an average of 80.6 years. Saturday, January 8th, listen to the Equal Health, Equal Hope Show. Hosts Dana Devine and guests will discuss the life expectancy gap widening between black and non-black Chicagoans. Saturdays at 11 a.m., listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
Hi, I'm Attorney Ernesto Borges. I'd like to invite you to join me for the Borges Report for lively discussions about legal matters, politics, government, entertainment, and the topics that concern you in your life. Start your Sunday the Borges way with the Borges Report.
The Borges Report with Ernesto Borges. Sunday mornings at 9 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right. Free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Hell nah!
Greetings, family. This is Salim Muwatil, and I'm asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscles. Join our global classroom where we always look for patterns in the world's chaos.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Don't need the road we try.
some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind.
Oh, man, I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop, y'all. He said, we got some difficult days ahead. He said, but I don't mind because I've been to the mountaintop. He said, God have allowed me. He didn't say he was able to go, but to go to that mountain. He said, I looked over and I've seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Dr. King, you know, because I knew him, you know, he had always a hopefulness about black folks. You know, he could have very easily not given his life. He could have just said, oh, not me, I'm just going to. But God allowed him from a spiritual, but that's why spirituality is so important. God allowed him to go up. And, you know, mountaintop experience is a whole other thing. But he never thought that when we, he never thought that things would happen like this. But it's going to be all right because we got hope. It is 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, to take that deep breath. And we're going to do it 3 times. We're going to take that deep breath, y'all. I'm working with Nelson over there. He's going to be all right. We're going to take a deep breath, y'all. Nelson, all y'all over there in that control room, we're going to do the black thing. Black, 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 black. Come on, y'all. You know we do Trinity. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Is that? Come on, Nelson. Look at you, boy. Woo! Come on, Nelson. You being trained over there. You're doing pretty good.
Tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
That's what we are today, y'all. We need to sign it. We need to sign it today. Get up off the talking points. Our own Emancipation Proclamation.
Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language.
Yeah.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary.
Y'all better check out that voting right bill. Yeah.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right.
We got to get this language right, y'all.
To get the language so right that everybody here will cry.
Woo!
Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and I am beautiful. How y'all doing this morning? We back, y'all. We're back at our 7 o'clock hour. We are real. We back. And I got me a new engineer for the new year being trained. And anybody, you know, when they come to me, it'd be a little different because, you know, I'd be doing stuff a little different. And I think he's hanging on in that, Nelson. But anyway, we're back and we'll serenade. I'm going to be playing songs for the children and talking to you about the children. The most important thing is how do black folks really, if we don't look out for our children, what's it all about, Alfie? You know, you got folks, old folks, hanging on to something. And they see our children. I always say, after the folks have used black folks to get over being conveniently black, they walk away. And the difference is, what have happened, and we still, I heard on the news, celebrating the first. We still celebrating the first as we losing ground. That's what's so funny. And that's because of how we elect people. They come tell us a bunch of stuff, and we say, oh, that sounds so good. I'm going to put them in there. And they don't do nothing. You don't see them no more because you really don't hold them to task. Like right now, I don't see nobody, you know, talking about this voting rights bill. It's the worst thing in the world for black people. It's not for us. It's going to let non-citizens vote. All is illegal. They brought a million or some across that border. What voting rights? I don't know. We outvoted everybody with Barack. That's how he got in. We outvoted the last time. We vote. We don't have a problem with vote. They have always made y'all thought that, they want you to have a vote ID. I agree with that. You can stop some of this fraud with these folks who are not citizens who should not be voting. That's what you got to deal with. But I don't know. You can't even get a COVID test without an ID. So you telling me that black folks ain't got no ID? So that's not for us. And not only that, I was dealing with the whole question of voting and education today. If the federal government was in charge of local election, Harold Washington wouldn't have gotten to be mayor. And most of your elected officials here wouldn't. You don't want to put them in charge of drawing the map, looking at all of your local elected officials and all that stuff. We, even though we're having problems with some of our elected officials or we having problems with stuff going, we still want to be in charge of and control Ebony. In control, where is Ebony, y'all? In control we want to be in control of your local election. Don't turn that over. We went in Springfield, they went and voted in the elected school board to allow illegals who are not non-citizens to vote for elected school board. That makes no sense, and you all didn't say nothing. Some of the new laws that's coming in play is for this year. Some of the new laws, y'all hold on, she gonna get you. Some of the, she just don't hang up, y'all. She's going to get you. Some of the new laws, Asian American history, it comes into play. They gave the Asian, I told y'all last week, a right to teach their history from civil rights and how they built the country and all the other stuff. And guess what they gave us? Juneteenth. What a joke. We didn't need them giving us no Juneteenth. They said that's something LaShawn Ford have been pushing for. It's just a feel-good holiday for black folks. When Juneteenth been there a long time, I've spoken at Juneteenth in Oklahoma and in Texas before. They always have celebrated that. And all the difference is, and it's because of the Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, who they don't like, who gave us the Emancipation Proclamation because he had signed that, and those folks were so far up in the country, they didn't know that they had been free. So we didn't need to trade off Juneteenth for and giving the Asians, just that was them to feel good. Well, I vote for this if you give me Juneteenth. That's crazy. And you got the Asians who they're going to teach their whole history. And some of the history is flawed. We want to talk about what all they did to help build the country and their culture, their science, their technology, and all that stuff. I don't think you're thinking. You traded off for some Juneteenth. Juneteenth will make you feel good because you can put on your red, black, and green and holler, we got the white man. when you don't have none, when you're steadily going backwards. And that's what Dr. King was trying to tell y'all last week in his speech. I was highly upset that we need to commemorate June 19th, the day Union troops arrived. They talk about the Juneteenth and 18th. This is crazy. But at the same time, the Asian American history, when they should have been saying, we're not doing nothing. Shaw and they did a black history should be taught in all of the schools. And we don't need no nobody telling us about no critical race. Our history is serious in what you're trying to put on the Asian. But no, y'all let that get away. This is embarrassing. And that's what I mean. That's because you have people who don't read or don't understand, and they just be trying to get points. And I don't think that the legislators should have voted to give no Asian American history. You got one Asian down there. And look at all the stuff they got. Schools, they got all this, built a new school, got stuff economics, got all this other stuff. And y'all sitting around there, Juneteenth. It's embarrassing because did you just find out about Juneteenth? Y'all done woke up, huh? And I'm going to talk more to y'all today. I'm just trying to go through some things with y'all because we're really in trouble here, but we're not in trouble because we're going to keep hope. And do we wonder if I can just get these leaders up off their butts and stop being lazy? You know, just like I asked some people during the election. I didn't care who they voted for, but I say, well, so, and these are the people that Trump had helped. You know, I asked one of my good friends who was Jesse, because I know when Jesse went to Wall Street, Trump gave him the first $500,000 and gave him an office on Wall Street. I said, why y'all? I don't care about y'all going with Biden, but you shouldn't. It's not godly to trash the man like that. It's not morally correct. And the person told me, well, I don't like the way he handled COVID. So I didn't argue, because I ain't never get mad. None of my friends about no politics, Republican or Democrat. I don't care who you are. Because we got too much other stuff to deal with. But how you like this now? This stuff is out of control under this man. Just throwing that in. But we always get emotional, and they're going to keep us emotional. They got you emotional talking about the voting right deal. So since some of y'all went in Selma on Bloody Sunday, this can make y'all feel good, huh? This bill is going to mess us up, just like you got the Asians American history being taught and Juneteenth for us. Come on, give me a break. I don't need that. And the Constitution that the white Anglo-Saxon and the black man put in place, because we amended it. We got 13, 14, 15 amendments. Most of the laws on the books was because of our struggle. Other folks coming in and joining, and they're moving on forward and pushing us back to taking our land, all other stuff. We got to put on brakes and don't let knock down the statues. Throw away the country. Yeah. You don't even know what you're talking about. Because those folks have currency, and they have country and tradition. And most of the ones, like if you saw in the paper on the 14th of December, where, not the 14th of December, that was for the teachers, on the January 7th, where they Three King Day honor the spirit of giving. That's where the Latino got together, and they dealt with their spirituality in terms of the kings who went to pay homage to Jesus. But they doing it because they said it was very important to keep their cultural and their spiritual stuff together. Why they tell you to walk away and tell you to do that. So that's kind of what I'm just looking at. It's the politics and education. And on time, folks be good. Or they tell us all these lies. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they don't do nothing. They just want to be impotent. Have nothing to do with the education. Our well-being, if you look at our communities, it's a disgrace. The numbers came out yesterday about unemployment. Blacks got the highest unemployment in the country. And black men are very, very, black unemployment 10.8, and black men unemployment is really high. Black women 6.8. Why? They think we stupid. Okay, Ebony, they think we real stupid. I'm just trying to tell y'all, let's get nationalistic and look at black people like Dr. King. We're going to celebrate his birthday, and we're going to talk about sitting at the table of brotherhood. And how can you sit at the table of brotherhood when you don't have no agenda? Are you right here letting folks take everything that you fall from you? So that's what we're talking about this morning. I'm going to go to the phone in about 2 minutes. And I'm going to be telling y'all about the educational one. I want to get back to the lawsuit. I got to see what parents are filing the lawsuit. So we, our boycott was a success, but we went to Lou Palmer to Talking Drums, and I told Lou what we was getting ready to do. That's really what was kind of the first time I really had into action. I knew Georgia Palmer from the Civil Rights Movement because she used to be a member of CORE. And so we told him Talking Drums was going to talk to the, she said, well, the models and parents thinking about boycotting, and then he talked about it. And WJPC, what's his name? He's gone. He passed. He's Ty Wansley. And the rest of them, they would say, all these folks would say, okay, models and parents, they was all involved. We had the radio station involved. And we won our law. We won even after going to jail, willing to go to jail for children. And I would say that movement, everybody talk about Harold, but that movement and some other movements woke up the masses to be able to put a black mayor in place. And we organized out of the Mollison parent, after filing a lawsuit, we organized the parent equalizers in Chicago, where we had about 77% of the schools mobilized. Then they brought in mastery learning. That was a precursor to this mess they got here now. And they mastery learning was terrible. Negroes are heroes at getting tomatoes and potatoes on the hill of Bigfoot. Anybody got the mastery learning books, please call me. And then we went to, then they had Dr. King was terrible. Mussolini was a hero. It was really a terrible thing. So we went to court. Now, the thing about the mastery learning, it was not being taught in all the schools, only in the blacks, in the little so-called schools. The magnet schools weren't teaching and the other schools weren't teaching. We went to court and we won both of those. So I said good luck to the parents who are going to go to court. There are some precedents there. You should look up our lawsuit. And, of course, the Principal Association sued a Mollison parent, myself as a lead, I think for $10 million, I might be not have the exact amount. And it was a bitter fight, but we won that too. So good luck to those parents. And I'm asking parents to stand up and fight. And I'm asking the black teachers who won the Fire Black Educators to become Marvin Collins. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the city, in the state, in the world. Our number is 773-591-69. And we're streaming there live, www.viewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. And if you miss it, you can go on Blog Talk. Before I go to the phone, I want to say this about our children. They're young, they're gifted, and they're black. We want to say that, and then I'm going to go to the phone, that we have got to fight for our babies. They can't be gifted if we don't help them. They can't be gifted if we don't teach them the science, math, music, culture, who they are. Oh, are we ready, young, gifted, and black, or should I just go on to the phone? Okay. I'm going to take a call, and I'm going to come back. It's going to be all right over there. Okay, Henry.
How you doing, Sister Tilma?
I'm fine. How you doing?
All right. My grandnephew had a birthday a couple of months ago. He's 13, and he's an A student. I took him a present and a card, and he opened the card, but he couldn't read it. And I'm like, wow. And
I know you're telling the truth.
His father said, well, you wrote it in cursive, and they don't teach cursive in school no more.
Mm. Not only they don't teach cursive, Henry, they don't teach the different how you supposed to indent and how you put your periods, where you put your exclamation. You don't teach any of that stuff, structure of sentences, nothing like that.
Yeah, and it blew my mind, too. Some months back, you told me that, you know, they don't have PTA meetings no more. And I'm like, what's going on in the school?
It was replaced by the local school council, who I think some of them are good, but local school council was a political thing. That stuff was thought of when the parents was organized. 70-some% of the schools was organized, so the corporate America got behind putting together the local school council, the local school council, and it was very political, and the CTU controlled them and the principal.
Wow.
Okay, I know they can't. Thank you. Thanks for calling, Henry. The children can't read. I was talking to one of mine, and I said, I want you to read that. It was something I was in the paper. They didn't want to read it. You know, they didn't want to read it because they know their words. And when they put their words, they don't even say their words right. Are we young, gifted, and black? And we got to teach them better. I'm going to play some young, gifted, and black because they are young, gifted, and black. I'm coming to the rest of y'all. I'll be right. We're going to come back to you because we got to teach our children that they're young and they're gifted and they're black. Gifted in black, we were, yeah. We're telling them the wrong thing. We gotta tell them, y'all. That's what I was told. It ain't no L. It ain't all that other stuff neither. That's what I grew up under. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on. Tell them, Nina. When you're young, gifted, and black, you're so intact. Take control of our children, our schools. We pay these folks salaries. They got another agenda, and then they got nothing to do with your children. How they gonna be young, gifted, and black if you don't teach them proficiency in the classroom? Get these teachers out who don't know what they're teaching. Oh, yeah, make them yearn to know the truth. Gotta be hungry for it. And I am haunted by my youth. Yeah, come on, Nina. Young, gifted, and black. Yeah. Young, gifted, and black. Most of us in my age group are a little under. That's how we was taught. From the time of being enslaved to here, we never gave up. We believed in our God and our family. They made you stop believing in family, believing in God, believing in all the stuff. This took you off while they coming in here. The Constitution was developed. And the Constitution and the Vice was made by the white Anglo-Saxon and the black man. And they're making you give it up your birthright. If you're descendant of an enslaved black in America, this is your country. Know that. It is your country. You need to understand that. I tell you. Frank? Frank? What's wrong with is my thing locked or something? I can't get in. Hello, Frank.
There go the bell. Good morning, my sister. How you doing?
That you locked the board. Okay. I'm all right, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Every Saturday, I wake up listening to you. I'm doing okay.
Oh, listen.
I told you a long time ago what made me fall in love with you. You stay on top of our kids. Ms. Tillman, keep it up. Keep the fight up. Ms. Tillman, let me just say this. Ms. Tillman, a great advantage and a great strategy in allowing the non-citizens to vote on the school boards and our elections. Now, I want you to show me where I'm going now. Okay, Ms. Tillman, once again, I see it. We are in a situation where we're in a war, Ms. Tillman. We can't afford to lose, just like the Civil War and just like the Revolutionary War. And we lose them both of those. If they understood, we got to let these slaves fight. We don't lose. Washington, Lincoln, and they understood that. Now, none of us were citizens there. Ms. Tillman, we're at the same junction now. Oh, let's go to the school board first. Ms. Tillman, I believe if they have kids in these schools, they got a right.
Frank, I'm not going to hold you. Hold on, you got to hold up. I'm going to let you spew that mess. I love you dearly. They don't have no rights. They're here. They're visiting our country.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's not what our Constitution say, and we wasn't. And you want to portray us like we was once nonsense? No, but we were enslaved. We was forced immigrants. We didn't come in on our own, and we fought. We fought hard, and that's how we got 13th, 14th Amendment. And it says the citizens. You don't have – they all right, Frank. They don't need you speaking for them. What's going to happen is – they don't need you. And what's going to happen is all you got to do now is look at UNO, $90 million to build them a math school, a science school, all that stuff. I'm saying no. Black folks got to stay with the Constitution, Frank.
Ms. Tillman, I understand what you're saying. Trust me, I understand exactly what you're saying. But like I said, Ms. Tillman, this will help keep a lot of them racist white people from getting on the school board, and a couple of them do still get on, they'll be outnumbered. This is why we get all the stuff that teaches about the two
countries. Get outnumbered for who? I mean, Frank, you're not thinking, baby. That's how we got in trouble. Frank. What is racism? Is all white folks racist? What are these other folks, how they feel about black folks? Wait. You cannot go in Little Village and work. You can't go to – Frank, they don't need
that.
Frank, I'm not – the new year, Frank, is about what we're going to do for black – we don't need that, Frank.
Understood, Ms. Tillman. Okay, let's just go move further. Now, Father, non-citizen voting in our election, I see an advantage for us in that too, Ms. Tillman.
I
got to
go, Frank. Frank, I love you because you're going to make me get all upset. There ain't no advantage with us. Are you crazy?
I'm going to show you how, Ms. Tillman.
No, wait, Frank, what I want you to do, Frank, you know what you do for me? Take a moment, pull the bill out and read it, and then call me back and let's discuss the bill. Okay.
I did that already.
Now, you didn't because you wouldn't be saying that. I got Mama D. She gonna tell you something in a minute. Talk to you later, Frank. I can't believe that. Mama D, I can't believe that.
Oh, hallelujah.
I had to pull you next. You wasn't next, but I had to get you because behind that, I needed some sanity.
Hallelujah, greetings. I can't believe that he said that. See, being counted in the census, we were counted in the census. That does not make you a citizen. Having sanctuary status does not make you a citizen. There's two ways to become a citizen in the United States of America. If you are not born here, then you must pass a naturalized citizenship test that requires you to read, write, and speak in English. That John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act adds a category that says membership in a language minority group consisting of Asians, Latinos, and Native Americans, white and black Americans are not included. Reverend Dr. Prophet King said we got to get that language straight.
Mm-hmm.
Sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners need to sit down and at the table of brotherhood, because every time you remove a slave on a statue, you remove the history of the slave. And these people are saying that they don't have that. John Lewis bill says everything that is written in English must be put in the language of these people who are not citizens because they can't speak English. So ballots and everything else, they are promoting bilingual preferred policies, and we're the only ones that over here that are not bilingual. Our mother tongue language, because of what happened to us due to no fault of our own, is American English, and we are not bilingual. And these policies will increase their privileges and decrease our voting power. Yes.
Well, you see the fight that's going on now across the country in Chicago and in the state where they talk about losing seats. You got the Asians and the Latino coming together to build a seat in the 11th ward. You got them making us lose a seat, and they're taking them. And they're counting based off of, they said our population lost. Well, we didn't walk, we couldn't walk across the border.
When they say this is our country, we're talking about the slave and the slave owner.
Right.
We are the ones that built it. We're not talking about the ones that are broke in here and say give them $450,000 apiece because they didn't have no family jails to put them in when they broke into this country. We can hardly survive a broken tail life. Look, we together the sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners, together we got the numbers.
Well, you know, I was just telling somebody the other day.
Smell the coffee. If there's a fight, we got to fight what we have built up, not let these people just come in from other countries and tell us. We have got to learn their language.
It's deep. And what happened? Wait, Mama D. Okay, Mama D. Also, what's happening is a lot of our children and other folks can't get jobs because they don't speak dual language in America.
Don't have bilingual.
Right.
That's why we got to file a lawsuit demanding that American English be the official language of this country because of what happened to us. They took our tribal land language. All we have is American English. It's our mother tongue language.
Well, you know, I got to go, Mama D, but you know what? People talking like what Frank did, they don't even really – that's one of the reasons we're in trouble because you got folks voting for people or supporting stuff with a lack of understanding. That's why I pull you, and you wasn't next, but I pull you behind Frank because I didn't feel like I was dealing with him this morning. But I have to go because my board is lit up and I got 15 minutes. Thank you, Mama D. I tell you, Alfred.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how you doing, Alderman?
I'm all
right.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's good, good. I usually don't call in. I listen quite a bit, but I have to call in now because you're one of the very few radio hosts that discuss our children's education.
Mm-hmm.
And I am quite disturbed because all this stuff about official language and can't read cursing, I can't say can if you don't go to school. And they can't go to school if the schools are not open. Now, I'm pro-union, Alderman. Always have been.
Love your children, don't mean you hating anybody else, but you have a responsibility and an obligation to be pro your children and pro your community first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I cannot understand why this union did what they did, and I'm pro union. But
political.
I don't understand why they did what they did. They knew about this Omicron back in December.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they wait till January to sneak up on somebody in the middle of the night? Something that's the way these corporate America corporations do when they want to fire somebody. They wait till 4:59 on Friday evening before Christmas to fire you.
Well, this union leader is no Jackie Vaughn, because Jackie Vaughn was, I tell you, she was awesome. Most folks might not know who she is. She was a union president.
Yeah,
when
I remember.
And then Carol, the one that died. This union, this man is playing politics with our children. They need to be talking about we're going to fight to make sure in our schools that the teachers who are teaching are proficient in the subject that they're teaching in. And that's
Exactly. And let the healthcare people figure out these viruses and how we
They said it's like a cold. They said it's lighter than anyone they had.
But that ain't the problem. The problem is get these kids back in school. Our ancestors were able to teach us when we were slaves under the threat of death.
Right.
These people can't even get to school trying to be healthcare workers when they should be educated.
Well, let me say and this.
Let me say this, they done really got me upset about this thing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a child in a public school. And nor a grandchild. But I'm concerned about every single black child in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I am concerned about the children in Chicago, black children not going to school.
Uh-huh.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. But these black teachers who got the one this settlement, $9.25 million settlement, will lay off entire school staff. And black teachers, But they need to be Marvin Collins and be a Marvin Collins and own my own schools. We got to do something. Thank you so much. I tell you. Hello, Ron. How you doing? Ron?
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you for bringing Mama D on for clarification and dealing with facts and not emotions, and particularly after the guy before her.
He was just wrong.
That period. He was just wrong. Let's just leave it.
Okay.
And like you said, they don't need him to advocate for them at all because they are not advocating for him or for black people at all. They're showing right now, Ms. Tillman, that they are getting what they consider theirs. So, again, just thank you for that. that information he gave out was absolutely incorrect. But Ms. Tillman, what I wanted to mention real quick, Joe Biden can reduce student debt up to, I think, $50,000. Why do I say that? Black people are burdened by student debt more than any other group. And the larger group is black females. Black females go to college.
He said he was
going to
do it,
though.
He haven't done it, have he?
No, he hasn't.
He took that money away, but he took that money away from black colleges.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. If black people put you in, and particularly we know what black women did, and they are burdened the most from the student loans. And see, here again, certain things maybe he can't get through the legislature, but I've looked it up. It is a fact. Anybody can look it up. He can do that through executive order. Well, and like you said, Ms. Tillman, I don't need Juneteenth, but I don't need relief from student debt, but I know people who do.
Well, let me ask you,
we need to start demanding that.
Well, our Congress people should do it on our behalf. We have to do it, too. They're not doing look. I'm not against, my thing is this, Rod. They gave the Asian America to teach history in our schools. Asian American history taught in public schools. They don't do that to teach all about them, and they give us something during Juneteenth.
Absolutely.
They must be taught the contribution of Asian American toward advancing civil rights from the 19th century onward. The contribution.
Symbolism.
Listen, but no, this is what they're giving the Asians.
Right. Oh, no. Listen, I'm talking about they give us a number of symbolism.
The contribution made by individual Asian in government, art, humanity, and science, the contribution of Asian American community to the economics, the culture, the social, and political development of the United States, and then you go around there being all happy because they gave you Juneteenth. Boy, they said, boy, I've been pushing for that. Hey, they're getting no kudos to me on that. And what's
and
so sad
I agree with you.
They look at December the 31st in the trio. What's sad is we look so stupid when they're talking about the new laws coming up. They got Asian American history, and right up under that, they got Juneteenth. That's embarrassing.
But you know what, Ms. Tillman, now that you go on this, we do have elections coming up. We have to do better at electing people that are really represent our interests, no one else's. Hours.
Well, you know, folks come around and they talk a good game. And when they get in, what happened? One thing you got to say about these other people in these other communities is that they already in their community working. We don't get people who are already out there who are working, have proven themselves the runs of the world. What they do is get folks who come on talking all cute. Bobby Rush seat didn't open up now. You see all these folks jumping in there? It's funny.
Absolutely.
So
and
what?
Some of them, and the thing about it, Ms. Tillman, some of them that are running haven't done anything in the current office that they're in.
That's right.
I mean, so what are you running for? So, Ms. Tillman, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day and a great weekend.
And Happy New Year to you. And I'm going to try to stay on, Doctor. This show, I'm going to try to stay for the rest of the season. I'm going to try to stay on Dr. King's whole thing about, trying to keep this hope, what we got to do. Hello, Kate. All right, I'll meet you in a minute. Hello, Kate.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Uh-huh.
I want to say at least can all the WVON people call, listeners, call our mayor's office, the CPS, CTU, and tell them that they have, whatever they do, they have to get these kids back in school as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because every day that the kids are not learning is a day that is that they're losing, especially the black children. It's pitiful.
Now, you said that they changed the bathroom laws. That's where they're going to let the men and the women go in?
Right, people? Yeah. And that is pitiful that they're doing that. I think we are led by the gay, white agenda. They do things.
Now, did they really change the law? I know they was talking about it. They changed that law. I'm looking at it. That's one of the laws they changed, the gender bathroom.
I didn't see that.
I'm going to keep looking because
I heard. And I think
I'm looking at the laws, Kate, and I don't see it. I hope not because you know what happened in Virginia when this boy raped this girl in the bathroom talking about his gender. So I'm gonna keep looking.
Right. It's, you know, it's wrong. You know, we as parents and grandparents, we have to be abreast and state what we want under every circumstance. It's pitiful how they change things
we gotta stop letting folks make us think that we so hopeless. You know.
Right.
But our leadership got to do
and
something.
And not intelligent.
Yeah, and we are very much so. Right. But the leadership have gotten the black folks in a trance because they'll talk, and people believe them, and they're really looking at talking points. It's just like this whole thing with the Capitol. I will not say insurrection. Everybody said insurrection. You're probably going to get sued by them folks in jail because nobody that they got in those prisons are charged with insurrection. They charged with trespassing and some other minor stuff, and they're being treated.
Yeah, they overtook the government.
I said, I'm not going to say it on this show. There were no insurrection, and the folks should not. None of them being charged with insurrection. That's what I'm trying to say. And we have to be careful what we say when you're doing that. We got to talk about what is, and we just got to know truth and just tell our people, let them make decisions. Art.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, young lady.
And Happy New Year to you, too.
Good. You said something that is very important. We have to stop this hope and praying from that perspective. We have to be. I haven't read many books, and people tease me about it.
Wait. You said we have to stop hope.
Hope meaning in the sense that you just said we have to do.
No, hope and faith. I said we gotta keep hope and keep moving. We can't put the sparkle out. We can't do nothing. We can do almost. We got to have hope and faith and move.
That's what I'm saying with you, Ms. Tillman. I'm agreeing with you. The hope that you're saying is not the hope that you're sitting there and waiting for someone to do something.
That's right.
Something that you say, and I'm going to say it on the radio again. I'm not as smart as all these people. I ain't read no books and all this other stuff. But guess what? When y'all say that Dr. King said a man can't ride your back unless it's bent, I believe that's something you say all the time.
That's right. You got to straighten your back up.
And stop, right. So stop saying that, they going to do this to us today. They can't do anything.
Let me tell you what the problem is, Art. The masses listen to those quote-unquote so-called leaders. And the leaders read talking points. And they are just as responsible for the state that our community is in as anybody else. You know, I let you come on because we disagree on some things, but I know you love the people and your family, God, and all the other stuff, and you are serious about our community. That's why we can go back and forth. But these folks just doing talking points. They are responsible for the state of our schools and our community, those quote-unquote elected, anointed, and appointed leaders.
Yes, ma'am. So we have to get back to and reinstitute a code of conduct. This is how you hold your elected official because they know the code. If you get in there and you don't do what you're supposed to do, the community is going to get you
out.
Well,
you got to have a code of conduct. Everybody got a code of conduct.
Exactly. Even against black people.
Right. They don't talk about it. They just don't hire you. Go to Chinatown. They don't hire no black folks. They don't hire you. You don't even.
Last point.
They don't even eat. You go to Chinatown and eat. They ain't even in this. You don't even see them eating in the same restaurant.
Thank you. If you open up a business, they won't even patronize you.
But
so
you go in their own restaurant. They don't eat with you in their restaurant. They got their own restaurants they eat in.
Exactly. So if you go to your school and they have something in it you don't like, you change that instantly. All the parents should be at the school. Shut it down. The teachers should be shutting it down. We don't want this in our school. But we want to sit here and continue to beg and plead and hope and all that foolishness. Let's be intentional when we do something.
Well, here again, we shut it. Like I said earlier, I didn't shut it down by myself. It was Carol and Miles that said, let's do it. What I did is I took a moment to explain and to educate the Mollison parents about what it would take for us to do it. So it was a we, it wasn't an I. And folks have to understand that. But they did understand, they understood it, what we had to do it. And once they understood it, we did it. So that's why thank you. I'm going to take David, and that's going to be it, I guess. I want to do maybe. So, David, let me see. Because do you over there locking my phone in? Why I can't get this call? Have you locked the board? Okay, I got it. I got it now. You can hear me, but I got a new engineer. He's training. I'm going.
Happy New Year, Ms. Tim. Happy New Year, Sam.
To you, too.
Now, I want to know who's responsible for teaching the black, you know, black history in the Chicago public schools. Now, in the past, the governor was saying that he was going to infiltrate some type of LGBTQ history. So I'm like, who's responsible for teaching the history of our people?
You know, it should be. I mean, we have to teach our children and get those different books. But in the meantime, we're part of American history. We're part of America. We built this country, and we should have our history. Just like they passed that law for Asian American history, and they gave us a little caveat of Juneteenth, the state reps down there should have demanded, because Shaw, who God rest his soul, had introduced a bill for black history, not just History Week. They put together some different scholars and real scholars and put our history together. It should be taught all over the state of Illinois, and they have not done that, but they did it for the Asians. All your black reps voted for it. But they was happy because they gave us Juneteenth.
Well, why can't they vote for our black history to be taught in the schools? Where is that at?
I don't know. You need to ask them, and I got to go now because I'm almost out of
time.
Maybe
you can have them come on the show in the late on this year, and we can ask that question.
We'll see about it. Y'all, I can't take no more calls. I don't think I got that much time. Evan, I can't take no more calls. I know the board just lit up, y'all. I can't take I want to play Not a Season before I go. We got to take care of our children. Play Not a Season, please. I ain't got but a few minutes, and I want to get as much in there as I can. Y'all, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for listening. We're going to try and see what we can do to get you to do what we got to do here. And when I talk about our elected, anointed, and appointed leaders, not with hate, but we're trying to get them to understand and get on board. And that's, we got to give a lifeline to our community, where we're in this country. We got to go back to what they did when we were way back, and as we grew up with S.B. Fuller and Johnson, all the way back to the enslavement. Our children should not eat the grape wrath. Dorothy Wright Tillman, we'll coffee in a conversation with me. I'm going to come back next Saturday and try to keep on telling y'all. My time go by so fast. By the way, that bathroom got pushed back. There was a petition to rescind it. Okay, for Kate. But until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman talking about we should not send our children to eat the grape wrath. Charles Bevel, James Bevel, young brother. And we don't have any. So that's what's happening now. The Board of Education and those who turn their backs on our children, just crushing it. And when it opens, what kind of quality education they're going to have. And they should be demanding to put their children in public schools. Yeah, come on. No more college, y'all. I'm not gonna talk about it no more, Evan. Yeah. No more calls. Woo! We sent our children out to eat the grapes of wrath. Dorothy Wright Tillman. Until next week, saying we cannot send our children out to eat the grapes of wrath. I gotta get out of here. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying let's do something about our children and our future. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman says, reparations now. This is about 10, about 15 seconds. See y'all next week.
In this slavery industry, is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands got blisters, forced to be a few.
And guess who's coming to dinner? In 1963, he became the first black actor to win an Oscar for Best Actor in a Leading Role for Lilies of the Field. Here's a clip of him accepting the award.
It is a long journey to this moment.